Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, even though in this country we don't have a king, we understand pomp. We understand authority. We have a commander-in-chief. And I remember in the 90s when I was newlywed, my husband was in the service full time. He was a Navy man, and he had gone on a cruise, as Navy men are wont to do, and he was gone a few months, and so we wrote back and forth. And the minute his ship got back from the cruise, they were called up the very next day to go on a Haitian embargo. Now, I did not live on base. I had my church, and I lived a few hours away from base. But the ladies on the base were not happy that their husbands were called back to duty. And so they decided to go on a hunger strike. Now, I said, I'm not going to go on a hunger strike. I might go on a chocolate binge, but I'm not going to go on a hunger strike. And my husband asked me the question. He said, well, aren't you upset that I'm going away again? I said, well, I'm not happy about it, but the commander-in-chief said, go. And when you're in the military, your life doesn't belong to yourself. You go. On 9/11, my husband was in the reserves, and he was not called up to active duty, but we knew at any time he could be. And there were those who were called up who balked, who said, I didn't sign up for this. Well, yes, you did. When the commander-in-chief says go, you go. My father was in the military. All my brothers were in the military. So I understand about service and sacrifice and wartime. And one of the things I love is when I look at military people, they all stand at attention. I really like that. And they're spit and polish. And we love to look at military parades or military precision. And so when I read the book of Daniel's description of the Ancient of Days, something rose inside of me. When I read John and he talked about Jesus coming in the clouds, boy, I could get right into that. And then I read the Gospel of John. And there's Jesus battered and bloody and bruised. And he's in front of a despot governor. And Pilate looks at him, this scraggly man coming in, tied up, looking like something the cat dragged in. And he said, you're a king? And Jesus didn't say, yes, I am. Jesus said, well, you know, is that what you've heard? And he said, my kingdom is not of this world. And then Pilate said, so you are a king? And Jesus again would not answer him because he understood what Pilate thought of when he thought of kingship. Pilate made the Caesars look like wimps. He was brutal. He used all his power to keep order. And he was faced with this raggedy minister who they said, well, he claimed to be a king. And Jesus is talking about a kingdom not of this world. That's harder for me to wrap my head around. I can wrap my head around military victory. I can wrap my head around a Jesus who's going to come sometime and, as if you pardon my expression, kick butt and take names. But it's awfully hard to wrap my head around the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords standing in front of a petty despot and allowing himself to be brutally murdered. It's awfully hard to wrap my head around the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on a cross forgiving his murderers. But you see, the king that we serve is not of this world. And kingdom rules are not the kind of kingdom rules that we think about. the king of this world, the king that we love, talks about forgiving our enemies. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords talks about justice. The King of King and Lord of Lords wraps his arms around the poor. The King of King and Lord of Lords sat with prostitutes and broke bread with sinners. The King of King and Lord of Lords is the King of Love and the King of Grace and the King of Peace and the King of Joy. And that's awfully hard for us to wrap our heads around. But I want to tell you about some people who follow this king on this day. The king's people were in a house of worship in the south, and somebody came in and picked them off one by one with a gun. And the king's people, their survivors, walked into that jail, and instead of cursing that young man, said to him, "On behalf of our king, we forgive you." That's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords people, people of forgiveness. The people that follow the king, when the Sikh temple was shot up, walked into that Sikh temple and put kerchiefs on their heads. I love the picture, especially of Representative Ryan, who had a kerchief on his head. It looked like a little doily. Out of respect, he came into that Sikh temple to show solidarity. Those are the king's people. I think of our Amish brothers and sisters. There was an Amish sect where a man went in and shot up their little children in a schoolhouse. And that group, after he killed himself, they went to his widow to make sure she was okay. That's the followers of our king. I think of the people of Samaritan's Purse, who as wave and wave of refugees are coming to the shores and people are saying there's too many, they're there to meet them with kits to help them out and to feed them and clothe them and give them shelter. I think of a little boy just recently in Texas where a mosque was defaced and defiled. And when his mom told him about this mosque being so terribly defaced because someone was angry, he took out his piggy bank, all his savings, $20 worth, and insisted on going to the imam and handing him his money. And that imam said, "I have a little boy his age. This gives me hope." Followers of our king are people who speak justice everywhere they go, are people who speak peace everywhere they go. It's not the kind of king most of us want to follow. We want to follow someone with the biggest guns. We want to follow someone who's going to, you know, beat up the bad guys. But our king demands a different way. I think of John the Divine when he was writing his book of Revelation. He was writing a letter to the churches, and at that time, they didn't think that the Christian church was going to survive. The persecution was enormous. John was exiled to an island. It was like an Alcatraz. And here he is cut off from his people, and he has these little churches that he's trying to encourage, and he is suffering greatly. And what are the first words out of his mouth? "Grace and peace to you." As one of the king's agents, he blessed the people even though he was suffering. And that's an important lesson for us, isn't it? As one of the king's people, every day we can impart a blessing on people around us. I think of Sue Sherman when she was suffering. Every time she saw me, she imparted a blessing to me. I think of Bob Ekberg. Every time I went and visited him, he imparted a blessing to me. I think of Ted Hoepner, who was crippled up for years in a nursing home. Every time I went to visit him, he imparted a blessing to me. All of the King's people, every day of our lives, whether we're in good shape or gimping around, we have an opportunity to speak grace and peace to our family, to our friends, to all our neighbors. We can even speak grace and peace to the person who's gotten on our last nerve. Are you a follower of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Not only the one who is coming back in glory, but the one bloodied and battered on the cross who looked at his murderers and said, "I forgive you." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you remember us not only when we are strong, but when we are weak. We thank you for the agents of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that we see every single day. We thank you for the opportunity to speak grace and peace regardless of our circumstances. And we thank you that your reign of love will one day be seen all over this world. Help us to be your agents of peace and love and justice in this dark world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.